Listening Library presents Safi's Angel by Hilary McKay. Read for you by Julia Sawalha. Chapter 1. When Saffron was 8 and had at last learned to read, she hunted slowly through the colour chart pinned up on the kitchen wall. It was a painter's colour chart from an artist's material shop. It showed all the colours a painter could ever need. There were rows and rows of little squares, each a different shade of red or blue or green or golden yellow. Every little square had the name of the colour underneath. To the Casson children, those names were as familiar as nursery rhymes. Other families had lullabies, but the Cassons had fallen asleep to lists of colours. Saffron found indigo almost at once, a smoky dark blue on the bottom row of the chart. Indigo was 2 years younger than Saffron. His name suited him exactly. "If there is one thing your mother was good at," Bill Casson, the children's father, would say, "it was choosing names for you children." Eve, the children's mother, would always look pleased. She never protested that there might be more than one thing that she was good at, because she never thought there was. Indigo was a thin, dark-haired little boy with anxious indigo-coloured eyes. He had a list in his head of things that did not matter, such as school, and another list of things that did. High on Indigo's list of things that mattered was his pack. That was how he thought of his sisters, his pack. Saffron was the middle one of the pack. Saffron had to climb onto a stool to see the colour chart properly. The stool had a top of woven string that was coming unwoven, and its legs rocked on the irregular tiles of the kitchen floor. "I can't find me," she grumbled to Indigo, wobbling on the stool. "I can't find Saffron written anywhere." "What about the rest of us?" asked Indigo, not looking up. "What about the baby?" Indigo was crouched on the hearth rug, sorting through the coal bucket. Pieces of coal lay all around. Sometimes he found lumps speckled with what he believed to be gold. He looked like a small black devil in the shadowy room with the firelight behind him. "Come and help me look for Saffron," pleaded Saffron. "Find the baby first," said Indigo. Indigo did not like the baby to be left out of anything that was going on. This was because for a long time after she was born, it had seemed she would be left out of everything, and forever. She had very nearly eluded his pack. She had very nearly died. Now she was safe and easy to find, third row up at the end of the pinks. Rose. Permanent Rose. Rose was screaming because the health visitor had arrived to look at her. She had turned up unexpectedly, from beyond the black, rainy windows, and picked up Rose with her strong, cold hands, and so Rose was screaming. "Make Rose shut up," shouted Saffron from her stall. "I'm trying to read." "Saffron reads anything now," the children's mother told the health visitor proudly. "Very nice," the health visitor replied, and Saffron looked pleased for a moment, but then stopped when the health visitor added that her twins had both been fluent readers at 4 years old and had gone right through their junior school library by the age of 6. Saffron glanced across to Caddy, the eldest of the Casson children, to see if this could possibly be true. Caddy, aged 13, was absorbed in painting the soles of her hamster's feet, but she felt Saffron's unhappiness and gave her a quick, comforting smile. Since Rose's arrival, the Casson family had heard an awful lot about the health visitor's multi-talented twins. They were in Caddy's class at school. There were a number of rude and true things that Caddy might have said about them, but being Caddy, she kept them to herself. Her smile was enough. Caddy appeared over and over on the colour chart, all along the top row. Cadmium lemon, cadmium deep yellow, cadmium scarlet, and cadmium gold. No Saffron, though. "There isn't a Saffron," said Saffron after another long search. "I've looked and there isn't. I've read it all and there isn't." Nobody seemed to hear at first. Caddy continued painting her hamster's feet. The baby continued screaming. Eve continued explaining to the health visitor, who frightened her very much, that she had not noticed anything at all wrong with Rose until the health visitor had pointed it out, and the health visitor continued tut-tutting. "I can't find Saffron," complained Saffron crossly. Indigo said, "Saffron's yellow." "I know Saffron's yellow." Well then, look under the yellows, said Indigo, and tipped the whole of the coal bucket upside down in the hearth, enveloping his end of the room in a cloud of coal dust. This made the health visitor start coughing, as well as tutting. Oh, I don't know how you keep your patience, she said to Eve. Her voice showed that she thought it would be much better if Eve did not. She had dropped in to weigh Rose, as she often did, and had noticed at once that the baby had gone a very strange colour, a sort of brownish mustard. She seemed to think it was a terrible thing that Rose should have gone mustard without anybody noticing. She began undressing her. "I've looked under all the yellows," said Saffron loudly and belligerently, "and I've looked under all the oranges too, and there isn't a saffron." Rose wailed even louder because she didn't want to be undressed. Her mother said, "Oh, darling, darling." Indigo began hammering at likely-looking lumps of coal with the handle end of the poker. Caddy let the hamster walk across the table, and it made a delicate and beautiful pattern of rainbow-coloured footprints all over the health visitor's notes. "Why isn't there a saffron?" demanded Saffron. "There's all the others. What about me?" Then the health visitor said the thing that changed Saffron's life. She looked up from unpicking something out of Rose's clenched fist and said to the children's mother, "Doesn't Saffron know?" The words fell into a moment of silence. Rose held her breath between roars. Caddy's head jerked up and her eyes were startled. Indigo stopped hammering. Eve went scarlet and looked very confused and began an unhappy mumble, a not yet, not now sort of mumble. "No what?" asked Saffron, looking from the health visitor to her mother. "Oh, nothing, dear," said the health visitor in a bright, careless voice. And Saffron, who had been frightened without knowing why, allowed herself to believe this was true. "Nothing, nothing," repeated the health visitor, half singing the words, and then, in a completely different voice, "Good heavens! What on earth is this?" Rose's fist had come undone, revealing that she held a tube of paint, yellow ochre, obviously very much sucked. "Paint!" said the health visitor, absolutely horrified. "Paint! Paint! She's had a tube of paint! This household, I don't know. She's been sucking a tube of paint." "What colour?" asked Indigo immediately. "Yellow ochre," Caddy told him. "I gave it to her. I didn't think she'd suck it. Anyway, I'm only using non-toxic colours." "Caddy," said her mother, laughing. "No wonder she's gone such a funny colour." "I'm ringing the hospital," said the health visitor in a voice of controlled calm. "Wrap her up in something warm. Don't give her anything to drink. We'll go straight to casualty." Then for a while Saffron forgot her worries, while they all tried to convince the health visitor that none of Caddy's colours were in the least poisonous, and that Rose, except for needing washing, was quite all right. "But why did you give it to her?" the health visitor asked Caddy.
"To make her let go of the Chinese white," said Caddy.
"Chinese white's sweet," explained Saffron, and then there was another fuss. While it was going on, Indigo got bored and went back to his gold hunting, bashing a lump of coal so hard that the pieces flew everywhere. And the baby got a chunk to suck, and the hamster jumped in fright into the health visitor's bag, and the health visitor said, "Thank goodness, my twins. If that hamster has made a mess, I suppose this is what they call artistic." "Yes," said Eve eagerly, "they are all very..." "You need the patience of a saint in my job," said the health visitor as she left. After she had gone, the children's mother hunted through the kitchen cupboards looking for something for tea. While she was doing it, she cried a bit, because it was so hard being an artist with four children to look after, especially in wet weather when rain blew under the kitchen door and down all the chimneys and into the bonnet of the car so that it would not start and she could not get to the supermarket. She thought wistfully of the shed at the end of the garden, her favourite place in the world. Only Rose noticed she was crying. Rose watched her with unsurprised blue eyes, enjoying the sniffs. The kitchen cupboard was full of non-food sorts of food, lentils and cereal and packet sauces and jam. Eve had almost given up hope when she unearthed a large and completely unexpected tin of baked beans, the sort with sausages in, a small miracle. "Daddy must have bought them," she exclaimed, as happy as she had been miserable a moment before.
The beans changed everything. Saffron took over the toaster.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?